Hello, this is Daryl Castle with today's podcast. Today is Monday, May 27th, 2013. And today is also Memorial Day, a day when we pause to remember the fallen, remember those who have served and those who are currently serving. Today I want to bring to your attention some things that concern our military, some comments that were made by the Commander-in-Chief of the U.S. Armed Forces recently. The President spoke last Friday, May 24th, to the graduating class of Annapolis, where young officers in the United States Navy and Marine Corps are trained. He spoke the day after his counterterrorism speech, and I want to bring some things to your attention that he said to these men and women that are graduating from the Naval Academy, that have graduated and now are going out to be commissioned officers in the Navy and Marine Corps. I want to make a few comments. I'll read some of the things that the President said to these people and make a few comments about it, and you can judge for yourself. He talked for an extensive period of time, just making pleasantries, talking about sports and about the places they hang out while they're at the Naval Academy, and just making a few jokes that only an insider like him would know. But then he goes on to say, quote, "Today each of you can take enormous pride, for you've met the mission of this academy. You've proven yourselves morally, living a concept of honor and integrity. And this includes treating one another with respect and recognizing the strength of every member of your team. You're the most diverse class to graduate in Naval Academy history. And among the many proud young women graduating today, 13 will serve on submarines," I'm told. That got a round of applause. 13 young women, recent college graduates, going out to the U.S. Navy to serve in close proximity to hundreds of men on a U.S. submarine, hundreds of feet below the surface of the ocean. He talked to them about morally, living in a concept of honor and integrity. This president has gall, doesn't he? Well, moving on, he says, "So, class of 2013, in your 4 years by the bay, you've met every test before you. And today is the day that you've been counting down to for so long. You will take your oath." Yes, the president knows about oaths, doesn't he? I believe he takes one, too, to the U.S. Constitution. "Those boards and gold bars will be placed on your shoulders. And as Commander-in-Chief," oh, it's hard to even say it, "I congratulate each of you on becoming our newest officers, ensigns in the United States Navy, second lieutenants in the United States Marine Corps." And moving on, he says, "Before you arrived here, our nation was engaged in two wars. Al-Qaeda's leadership was entrenched in their safe havens. Many of our alliances were strained, and our nation's standing in the world had suffered. And over the past 4 years, we've strengthened our alliances and restored America's image in the world." Well, let's analyze that paragraph for a minute. "Before you arrived here, our nation was engaged in two wars." Yes, I'll have to give it to him. Those two wars weren't his fault. And he did get us, for the most part, out of Iraq, even though it's a hellhole and basically engaged in civil war right now. That's not his fault either. And in Afghanistan, we still fight there. But I'm sure he's listening to the generals and listening to that low-life Karzai trying to get us out of there as quickly as he can. But this is the part I wanted to talk about. Al-Qaeda's leadership was entrenched in their safe havens. Well, yes, that's true. And he told us in his counterterrorism speech that their leadership has been decimated. But now we supply them weapons and they parade down Main Street. They kill our diplomats and they strive to take over countries, thanks to our weapons and our leadership. This is the Al-Qaeda terrorist organization. He says that our nation's standing in the world had suffered, and we have restored America's image in the world. Well, that's interesting to talk about. I remember a couple of weeks ago when Secretary of State Kerry went to Russia to meet with Vladimir Putin, and Mr. Putin basically humiliated him and humiliated the United States, laughed at him, kept him sitting out in his lobby for 3 hours waiting for his appointment. Then after he left, grandly announcing that he was going to continue selling missiles to Syria. That is strengthening America's image in the world, and now we are engaged in battle, not in two countries, but in 74 different countries around the world. Well, moving on, and yet we must acknowledge that even here in our military, we've seen how the misconduct of some can have effects that ripple far and wide. Yes, we've seen that. We've seen how Eric Holder can ruin the Department of Justice and the IRS and many other things. In our digital age, he says, a single image from the battlefield of troops falling short of their standards can go viral and endanger our forces and undermine our efforts to achieve security and peace. So that's what we're doing out there, folks, trying to achieve security and peace. Likewise, those who commit sexual assault are not only committing a crime, they threaten the trust and discipline that make our military strong. That is why we have to be determined to stop these crimes, because they've got no place in the greatest military on earth. Well, yes, how true. I agree with that 100%. Sexual assault has no place anywhere in the military or out. But when you mix young people in close proximity on submarines and in other places, it's a recipe for disaster. But nevertheless, it has no place. That I agree with 100%. So he goes on. Class of 2013. I say all this because you're about to assume the burden of leadership. He knows about leadership, folks. He knows about leadership. He learned about that, I suppose, when he was taking all those phone calls from Benghazi 8 months ago. As officers, you will be trusted with the most awesome of responsibilities, the lives of the men and women under your command. Yes, he was trusted with the life of Sean Smith, Chris Stevens, Glenn Doherty, and Tyrone Woods, and he was derelict in his duty. You will lead this country, and if we want to restore the trust that the American people deserve to have in their institutions, all of us have to do our part. Those of us in leadership, myself included, have to constantly strive to remain worthy of the public trust. That is laughable. I have to restrain myself to keep from laughing. Worthy of the public trust, indeed. Here's where it gets good, though, folks. Listen to this. Perhaps it will be a moment. Well, let me back up a minute. We need your honor, he says. He's going to lecture these young women and men about honor. This man is going to lecture them. We need your honor, that inner compass that guides you, not when the path is easy and obvious, but when it's hard and uncertain, that tells you the difference between that which is right and which is wrong. Perhaps it will be a moment when you think nobody is watching. But never forget that honor, like character, is what you do when nobody is looking. More likely it will be when you're in the spotlight, leading others, the men and women who are looking up to you to set an example. Never ask them what to do. Never ask them to do what you don't ask of yourself. Live with integrity and speak with honesty and take responsibility and demand accountability. This man really spins a good yarn, doesn't he? What a joke. I mean, it's so laughable that you have to restrain yourself to keep from bursting out laughing. He's lecturing these people. Where does his ideas of honor and morality come from, I wonder? Where does he get them? What does he base his idea of what honor and integrity is on? What is the basis for his morality, one wonders. Moving on, but even more than physical courage, we need your moral courage. All right, moral courage. He said, where does that come from? Where does he get his? And where is it? I'd like to see it sometime. The strength to do what is right, especially when it's unpopular, because at the end of the day and at the end of your career, you want to look in the mirror and say with confidence and pride, I fulfill my oath. I did my duty. I stayed true to my values. Well, when he looks in the mirror, he's going to have to lie himself off in order to be able to say that he fulfilled his oath and he did his duty. What a joke this man is. All right, moving on. Yesterday, I spoke about the way forward in the fight to keep our country secure. For even as we've decimated the Al-Qaeda leadership, we still face threats from Al-Qaeda affiliates and from individuals caught up in this ideology. Yes, indeed we do face threats from Al-Qaeda affiliates. We supply those affiliates with weapons. That is apparently what Ambassador Stevens was doing in Libya. And we send those weapons into Syria to Al-Qaeda terrorists to use against the Assad regime. What a duplicitous joke this whole speech was. Anyway, moving on. With the time I have left, that's what I want to discuss today. It's no secret that in recent decades, many Americans have lost confidence in many of the institutions that help shape our society and our democracy. Yes, indeed, we've lost confidence in the IRS, if we ever had any, and we've certainly lost confidence in the Justice Department, thanks to you and Eric Holder. Moving on, but I suggest to you today that institutions do not fail in a vacuum. How prescient this man is. Institutions are made up of people, individuals, yes, indeed, and they're led by people, too, Mr. President. And we've seen how the actions of a few can undermine the integrity of those institutions. Yes, we've seen that once again in the IRS and in the Justice Department, how the actions of a few can undermine the integrity of it. I mean, this president has his courage, I will say. It must take courage to stand up there, a bald-faced liar, as corrupt as his administration has been, and talk to these young people about honor and integrity and so forth. What? I mean, he has no shame, apparently. He doesn't even know what it is. I guess he's been spending too much time sitting on his couch watching the news on television instead of listening to CIA and NSA reports on what's actually happening in the world and in his administration. It's interesting. I mean, I and probably most of you knew about the IRS scandal long before the president admits that he knew about it. How does that happen? I guess he's just a regular old guy, just like us, huh? Watching the news on TV and reading the paper and saying, huh, well, you know, there's a scandal over the IRS. Isn't that amazing? Maybe I should talk to Eric about that and see if he knows what's going on over there. But I don't think he really does, because he knows nothing. You know, he excused himself. He recused himself. He said, this isn't any of me. I know nothing. I see nothing. I hear nothing. This is the President of the United States, folks. Sad but true. That's the way I see it today, Memorial Day, Monday, May 27th, 2013. Until next time, folks, thanks for listening.